The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College football, brought to you on this show by Timeout Market Boston, showcasing the best of Boston under one roof. And Bill, we pride ourselves on being a finely tuned outfit over here. And so my sincere apologies on being late this morning. Unacceptable. Unacceptable.
No problem. No problem at all. I'm just sitting here watching some film and drinking my Dunkin' Donuts coffee. So Absolutely no problem.
Getting, what time do you, like normally during the season, what time are you up?
I usually get up between 5 and 5:30 and try to get in. You know, we practice in the morning, so we meet and practice in the morning. So I try to get in there pretty early to get ready to go.
When working for Bill, did you ever beat him in, or is it accurate that he would sleep at the facility?
Yeah, I would say I never beat him in, and I would say even a better question is Dante Scarnecchia was the earliest we would. You know, so at the Patriots, you know, you had to get in there early because we had a lot going on in the morning. So, you know, if you got in there at 4:30, you'd put your hand on Dante's hood of his car and it would be freezing cold. So he had been there for probably all night.
Yeah.
So yeah. Dante's a legend.
I think the policy over there now is you can sleep in.
Remote.
Yes. You can work remote. You can work remote if you want.
Do we underrate how much of an impact guys like, I mean, we obviously know Bill's gone and that is a major story and should be, but how much does the loss of Dante Scarnecchia mean? Like, I mean, all the issues we see with this offensive line, I mean, how much of that was Dante's ability for so long to coach guys up?
Well, I would say that, Curtis, like when I was there, my first stint there, you know, that was one of the best coaching staffs I've ever worked on. You know, we had Dante, we had Josh, Ivan Fears was an amazing coach. We had Chad O'Shea, Nick Caserio did a lot of coaching back then, but Dante, when I first got there, you know, he taught me a lot. Like I had to draw his blocking sheets. I had to, my first spring there, I had to, you know, I sat in the back of the O-line meeting rooms and, you know, listened to him teach the run game and the protections. And I owe Dante Scarnecchia a lot. He was instrumental in my career and teaching me a lot about O-line play.
Bill, as long as we're talking about the NFL before we talk about BC and college, how does the NFL fix the – Tom Brady weighed in on it this week. We talked about it a lot. How do they fix the quarterback slide situation based on what happened with Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, I think that – so I don't want to be too long-winded here, but when I was in the NFL, I was very fortunate to work on what they called the Madden subcommittee, which was like a committee of head coaches that, you know, recommended rule changes, you know, up the scale to the guys who were really in charge of the league. And so I think, like, one thing that we found was, I just think, Greg, that more coaches need to be involved in the rule changes and the rules.
Yeah.
Because, like, John Madden used to tell us, like, back in the day, the guys that were in charge of the rules were, like, Vince Lombardi and Don Shula and Chuck Knoll. Like, those guys made the rules of the game because they were in the game. They spoke to the players. So now you look at it now, and look, the quarterbacks have to be protected. They're the highest paid guys. They're the people. They're the reason why people watch the game. I get it, but like, there is a point that Tom's making that, you know, the slide is a very, very judgmental deal, and this guy's coming in to make a tackle. He's going full speed. He's not really sure if the guy's going to slide or not, because, you know, like, you watch Drake May, he doesn't slide.
Right.
He's a tough guy. He doesn't slide all the time. So, like, you know, it's very hard to make those split second decisions when you're running a 4.3 40 to try to tackle a guy. So, you know, I think Tom's got a point there.
Yeah, Bill, when you start to look at just kind of where you ended as a team, and you get ready for to watch the SEC championship game this weekend, SMU, you played them pretty tough. Is that like something you look at and you go, okay, we can play with these teams and obviously have an opportunity to compete for an ACC championship because of, you know, what we were able to do against a team that is going to be playing in and is going to be a favorite in the ACC championship game?
I believe so, Wig. I think, like, you know, every year is different, right? So once the bowl game's over, we have to, you know, doing like what we call an after action review on everything that we're doing here, soup to nuts. But like, we've got to, you know, understand that, like, in a lot of these games, you know, close doesn't count. Like, I get it, but we are very close. Like, we went to SMU, you know, we played a good football game. We turned the ball over too much, gave up some big plays, and, you know, obviously they won the game, but, you know, they're 11-1 and they should be in the playoff. You know, you look at Syracuse beating Miami, you know, last week. You know, we beat Syracuse here at Boston College. I mean, you know, so we feel like we're on the right track, but every year is different. You know what I mean? So we've got to regroup and get ready for next year once the bowl game's over. But I do feel like we're on the right track. I have a feeling about that.
I want to see if you side with Wiggy or Curtis on this debate, which has been ongoing all week on the show. Where do you stand on planting the flag?
I mean, you know, I don't, Greg, I just think that these rivalry, I just want to be, like, honest as I can about this. You know, these rivalry games, look, rivalries are awesome, right? Awesome. I was in the Georgia-Georgia Tech rivalry. I coached in the Alabama-Auburn rivalry. They're incredible. But they're, like, now they're, like, way over-exaggerated. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, you play 12 games. When I was at Ohio State for that month, I was like, Ryan, we have 11 games other than this game. Like, we've got other important games. We've got to go to Oregon. We've got to go to Penn State and play these games. And I think it's, look, it's a hard thing. So the flag planting, I mean, okay, it's whatever it is, but like, what does that mean? You won the game, shake the guy's hand, walk off the field, get on your bus and head back to your school. I mean, great for you. And here we go. I'm not into all that flag planting. I think that's like a bunch of BS, but that's just me.
You and Wiggy agree.
Hey, I think it's stupid. Stupid. You, like you said, you won the game, shake the guy's hand. If you don't want to shake hands because they were talking trash, so be it. I think it's just
stupid, then why would you fight over it?
It leads to fighting.
The stupid part is the punching.
Right, the stupid part is the reaction to a flag.
Let me just say this real quick. I think, like, for Wiggy and I, like, professional football, you know, when the game's over, you know, you guys see it, right? The coaches shake hands. Everybody goes over and, you know, there's a respect, right? It's a very violent sport. You know, you're putting a lot on the line and you're playing that game. And so, like, that's really what it is. I noticed that right away when I went to professional football, that, like, there's emotion. Like, don't get me wrong, but, like, you know, at the end, hey, shake hands, boom, great job. See you next time we play it. That's really, to me, what it should be about. But that's just me.
Well, Bill, congratulations are in order, too, because you get the ACC Defensive Player of the Year on your team with Donovan. I feel like BC gets disrespected a lot in college football, especially within the ACC. I watched the video of his mom telling him that he won ACC Defensive Player of the Year, and he said that it was on his goal board after this, his sophomore year season. So how much have you seen him grow as a player, but also how proud are you to have a player on your team get that type of accolade within the conference?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, he struggled last year, right? He's a great player, and he was one of the first guys I met with when I got the job, and I'm very proud of Donovan. He's a captain. He came in and worked very hard. He never wavered. You know, he's played for a couple head coaches here. He came in, he bought into what we were talking about. He loved the defense that Tim Lewis brought, and he went and played. I mean, this guy, you know, Courtney, like, I've only coached two defensive players of the year in my time, J.J. Watt in the NFL and now Donovan here in the ACC. And, you know, those guys dominate games. They take over games, you know, and that's what he did in many of these games. I mean, he literally won us two or three of the games that we won, you know, with the way that he rushed the passer in critical moments or even chased the run down, caused turnovers. The guy took over games. And so, you know, I think he's a great testament to what BC is all about. He's a great student. He's an awesome guy on campus. A lot of people everybody has great respect for him. So I'm happy for him.
Self-proclaimed draft nerd Chime has some sort of follow-up on this. Go ahead.
Yeah, Bill, because, like, as, you know, the crappy teams in the NFL get closer to the end of the season, we start looking ahead to the draft. And one of the guys who I'm hearing a ton about is, in fact, Donovan Ezeraku. And I'm curious what your response would be to the nerds like myself who will look at him, especially come combine time, and be like, well, he doesn't really meet those normal height-weight parameters. Like, kind of, how is he going to overcome that in the NFL?
Shime's a big height-weight guy.
Yeah, big time. Height-weight speed. That's my thing.
Yeah, I mean, Sean, you know, there's some, you know, you have a point in some ways, but I think it depends on, you know, the defense that the team is playing, that, you know, that's drafting Donovan. I think he's a four-down defensive end that can rush off the edge of the defense. He might not be the tallest guy, but he's got great length, you know, like his arm length is excellent, and he's got excellent explosion and acceleration to the quarterback. He also is very strong. You know, he squats a ton. He can set the edge of the defense. You know, he's not a 3-4 outside linebacker like what we're used to here in New England, right? Like Mike Vrabel, Willie McGinnis. Like, that's not what Donovan is. He's a four-down defensive end that can also play at the second level. He's a versatile player. He ran our punt protection with Joe Marinaro, so he'll be a special teams guy. You know, I think the guy would drafted by the right team, you know, will have a very, very successful career. He's also very smart, a very good teammate, and cares about the team. So if you're a four-down team, you'd be crazy not to draft Donovan Ezeraku.
I don't think – have I asked you for anything? I mean, short of maybe some merch or something. I don't think I've asked you for any favors.
No, sir. You have not asked me for any favors. No.
Could we have one? Shime just reminded me. Can Shime design one play for next season?
Oh, God, we got to win.
But just one play, Bill.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as long as it's like a legit play with 11 guys on the field and not like some triple flea flicker, like, you know.
No trick plays.
Wow. Play.
Okay.
Oh, would it be an offensive or defensive play? Shime?
An offensive play.
All right. We'll introduce it in the spring game.
Yeah, we'll introduce it in the spring game, and then we'll pick some other, you know, sort of, you know, less meaningless game. And
see if it makes it.
And we'll throw it in. All right. And we'll call it, like, the Shime or whatever. We'll have some sort of a gadget name for it.
Does he have the play in mind? Do you know what the play is, or are you just going to design it in the off season? Like, do you already know what the play is?
No, I have an idea. I want to cook something up for you. I'll make it good. Don't worry, I promise. I'll put plenty of effort into it.
You have no idea.
No, I have an idea.
It has to be an explosive play, whatever it is.
We could call it the mashed potato based on
You guys should have Ernie Adams on this show, Greg, at some point, because he used to have the greatest, like, trick play suggestions. You know, he would call it you know, he'd say, oh, but you should put in the cross-country play this week. And so it'd be like some crazy play with all kinds of motion and unbalanced. And invariably, we would run it. But, like,
right.
Yeah, that's you guys should have him on there. He's a he could give Shime some good advice on some good gadget plays.
I would love to hear what what was your answer? Like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. Right. Definitely, we'll throw that in there.
Shime's a derivative.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he's Bill's best friend. So we were like, sure, Ernie, whatever you need, man.
Shime's play is a derivative of the annexation of Puerto Rico from Little Giants. He'll have that ready for you. By the way, Ty Law told us he knows what Bill's doing, but he won't tell us. Do you have any, does Bears whisper to you at all about, is it the Jaguars? You had any scuttlebutt on Bill's future?
You know, I asked Bears if he had heard from Bill the other day and, you know, just hasn't heard from him that much. So Bill's busy.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill is a very busy guy. So I don't know. I really don't. I have no idea. I would imagine, look, the guys, you know, look, guys, you know, he's 14 wins away, I think it is, from Don Shula's record. I mean, you know, I think that's a massive record in sports. And so you know, I would imagine he'd probably want to coach again. And you know, whoever gets him, you know, a refreshed Bill Belichick, that'd probably be pretty dangerous in the NFL.
All right, Bill. Wiggy?
I wanted to say congrats on Big Seymour's kid, right? I didn't I see he committed with you guys?
Yeah, London Seymour. Yeah, from down in Atlanta. Richard's awesome. He was great. And London's about 6'5", 305, plays defensive line just like his dad did. And, you know, we're excited about him. He'll probably you know, be here. You know, I think he'll officially visit in December and sign in February.
Didn't Larry Ellison's wife write a check for $1 million to make that happen, or is that just Michigan?
No.
You need a Larry Ellison is what you need, Bill.
Yeah, I don't know who that is, but yeah, absolutely.
Maybe Rob Hale.
Maybe Ernie Bach. Plenty of BC guys that have stuffed to the gills.
Really?
I mean, look at Curtis.
Curtis, his dad.
Curtis's dad.
I feel like Curtis, Bill, you might agree with me. Curtis is, when it comes to being tough or smart, he's a bit of an outlier at Boston College. I don't know if you know. If you would agree.
I gotta tell you guys, I did not say that. That's not what I said.
Bill, are you
That's
sure?
That's not what I said.
You didn't say that about your former quarterback?
No. I did not say that. I support Tommy Castellanos, and I did not say that. I said that 99% of our team is staying with us. That's what I said.
Okay.
And so, like, that was, like, brutal. That was brutal. That was not what I said. But, you know, it is what it is. So,
okay, but you
know,
you
I've been
agree.
Doing this a long time. I've been misquoted very, very, very many times. Been misquoted a lot. So it's my fault.
All right, but you would agree that Curtis is neither tough nor smart.
Right. No, I would not agree. He's a BC guy.
God, it's okay. Yeah. I mean, Neshoba Regional doesn't even recognize Greg's existence.
All right, Bill O'Brien. I think we're going to have you on the rest of the season, right? Rest of the NFL season? Because you're awesome.
Absolutely.
Right.
A lot of fun. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, there you go. Bill. That's Bill O'Brien. A little bit late, but love having that man on this show every week. We got to get
a lot of good insight.
Yeah, good stuff. And Richard Seymour's son, is he going to be good?
I mean, he's a big boy. He's like his dad. So, I mean, if he has any, takes after his dad in any way, he'd be a good player.
3-2-1, if Breece Hill was Breece Seymour, he'd be in the NFL.
He would be in the NFL.
Well, Seymour's kid is 6'5", 300 pounds.
He would be. Kid got robbed, had to play D2 at Bentley because his last name was Hill, not Wiggins.
Uphill climb.
Right. Let's get to Courtney into what is trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. It was a winning night for us last night. The Bruins beat the Blackhawks in Chicago to improve to 6-2 under Joe Sacco. Final score 4-2. Your Celtics beat the Pistons at the Garden 130-120. It was without Drew Holiday or Jason Tatum.
Are we taking suggestions for the name of Shime's Boston College design play?
Oh, I actually have a name mind as well, but what do they got?
I was thinking in honor of Varsity Blues. Oopsie Oops, right.
Oh, no. We already know the name of it. Bongos.
Oh, that's better than mine. Good job.
Bongos is the one.
Bongos.
I was thinking half-baked potato, but
no. No bongos.
Oh, Wiggy, great.
Bongos. Well,
you already know the name of it.
A texter suggested it should be the appetizer entree option. Is what it should be called.
Okay.
So maybe.
I guess it depends on what the play is.
Z-right bongos.
Is it a running play?
That sounds good.
Is it like a play action? Is it a reverse? I guess we got to get the what the play design is, you know? But I like bongos. It's one word, and now they, you know, everybody gets it.
Thursday Night Football, we'll see the Packers at the Lions, and elsewhere in football, Jacksonville has ruled Trevor Lawrence out for the remainder of the season. He will receive surgery to repair an AC joint injury in his left shoulder. And celebrate the season at the 99 restaurant with friends, family, and our incredible New York strip and lobster casserole, a tender flame broiled 8-ounce New York strip paired with a rich, delicious, buttery lobster casserole. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. Currently 34 degrees in Boston. A little bit of a lull right now, but some mixed precipitation headed back to Boston shortly. Snow north and west of town. Afternoon high of 40.
And Greg, you'll love my lead because it ties in Breeso.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Oh, it does?
Yep.
Oh. Well, he's listening right now.
Mm-hmm.
On the job site. Guarantee it. Everyday yep. listener, Breeso. Those where his bread is buttered. All right, so I forgot. We have leads left.
Yeah.
So we'll get to Courtney's lead and to Wiggy's lead and to my lead coming up next.